some context on what is, among other things, an epic branding failure at the Academy Awards last night. From Marketplace in New York, I'm David Brancaccio. Last night at the climax of the Oscars telecast, something went wrong with the envelopes, and for 2 minutes and 29 seconds, the world thought La La Land won Best Picture. That was a mistake.
This is not a joke. I'm afraid they read the wrong thing.
This is not a joke. Moonlight has won Best Picture.
So we're clear here. The award goes to Moonlight. And which global accounting firm is responsible for safeguarding those Oscar envelopes in a show watched by about a billion people around the world? PricewaterhouseCoopers. Marketplace's Dan Gorenstein is following the accounting angle here.
For the past 8 decades, the accounting firm now known as PwC has collected Oscar ballots, tallied them up, and hand-delivered the winners to the presenters as they go on stage. This is a huge platform for the global firm, known for its business consulting practice, as well as auditing and tax planning. Decidedly unsexy work. You get a sense of just how important the Oscars is for the company from a recent post on its website that reads, "Let's face it, accounting may not be the most glamorous line of work, but once a year, the job also requires formal wear, a walk down the red carpet, and a briefcase packed with the most sought-after secrets in Hollywood." Now, for a firm that prides itself on accuracy, this mix-up will certainly test that old saying, there's no such thing as bad publicity, especially, David, with tax time right around the corner.
All right, Dan, thank you. The accounting firm at the center of this issued a statement last night apologizing and saying it's investigating why the wrong envelope got into Warren Beatty and Faye Dunaway's hands. Let's do the numbers on a Monday morning here. The FTSE in London is up by 0.1%. Dow and S&P futures are down slightly, with the Dow future down 8 points about 2.5 hours before the opening bell here. After years, sometimes decades of waiting, victims of terror attacks against Americans overseas will soon begin receiving compensation. A $1.1 billion fund has been created, stemming from a settlement struck by the U.S. government and the French bank BNP Paribas. BNP was accused of evading sanctions on Iran and other countries, Marketplace's Rima Krais reports.
Kathy Votaw was a newly minted lawyer living in Philadelphia when she got the news. Her father had been killed in a U.S. embassy bombing in Beirut. It was 1983.
He was 57, and he was in perfect health. We wanted some recognition that my dad's death was meaningful.
Votaw is one of more than 2,000 terror victims or their family members who will receive money from the compensation fund established by Congress in 2015. Kenneth Feinberg is special master of the fund.
In the past, there's never been a fund like this that's been funded entirely by restitution.
And not by taxpayer dollars, like the fund used to compensate victims of the September 11th attack. Stuart Neuberger represents many of the families who will begin receiving checks over the next month.
Some people might get $150,000, $200,000 from the fund. Others are going to get $2 million.
And he says some payments could go much higher. The fund will be supported for 10 years and could grow depending on future settlements between the U.S. and other banks accused of violating U.S. sanctions. I'm Rima Krais for Marketplace.
We've been spending time in Reading, Pennsylvania, as Marketplace's senior correspondent Amy Scott looks at efforts to remake the American workforce. You may remember the Reading Railroad property in Monopoly. Since that city's industrial heyday, it's seen its share of factory jobs lost to free trade and new technology. Those that remain often require advanced manufacturing skills, and for older workers, that means retraining, sometimes over and over again. Here's Amy.
When Joe Snyder was 23 years old, with just a high school diploma, he got a job at the auto parts supplier Dana Corporation as a press operator.
And I worked there for 17 years, and they closed the plant and moved some things to Mexico, Venezuela, and I took advantage of the NAFTA.
The North American Free Trade Agreement, signed in 1993, came with funding for workers displaced by globalization. So Snyder enrolled in an associate's degree program in electronic engineering.
Just to get a job at Lucent Technologies, because they needed people there and you needed to have an electronic engineer associate's degree.
Then, about halfway through the program, Lucent started laying people off.
And by the time I graduated, they were in Singapore. So I had to scratch that.
Snyder couldn't find an engineering job, so he went into construction, then worked in drug and alcohol rehab, and when he lost that job, he went back into manufacturing, making surgical tools.
And about 2 years into it, we were notified that they were going to move their operations to Mexico.
Sensing a pattern here? Again, Snyder qualified for federal funding for retraining, just over $14,000 to study precision machining at Burke's Career and Technology Center. This computer numerical control, or CNC, lathe can make a part in a few minutes that used to take hours.
CNC really struck me because they said that a lot of the baby boomers were retiring and they didn't have a lot of people to replace them.
At 56, Snyder himself is a baby boomer, but not ready to retire. Most of his fellow students are teenagers in high school. The thing is, Snyder wanted to do vocational training when he was in high school, but a counselor said his grades were too high.
They thought that I would do better by getting a college degree rather than taking a trade. But the way I felt, I wanted a trade, and I just really couldn't get it.
Now he has a trade. Snyder graduated a few weeks ago and walked right into a job as a machinist.
I'm hoping this is the last time I have to do this because, you know, starting over three times, it doesn't feel good.
He's earning about $19 an hour, not nearly what he made all those years ago in his union job at Dana, but enough to live well, he says, and spoil his grandkids. In Reading, Pennsylvania, I'm Amy Scott for Marketplace.
Amy Scott is based at our education desk at WYPR. Back to the epic screw-up at the Academy Awards last night. Know that the tradition with the secret envelopes guarded by accountants for the Oscar results started in 1941 after, the year before, the Los Angeles Times ruined the party by breaking the news embargo early, so the Oscar results got out before the ceremony. That was the year Gone with the Wind got Best Picture. I'm David Brancaccio with the Marketplace Morning Report from APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college accountant? How does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox, and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.